Hello and welcome to Book Chatter, the monthly podcast sponsored by the Lugmont Public Library. I am your host, Z. For this episode with me are Dawn and Heidi to give their recommendations and a scoop of what they're reading right now. But first, let's get some introductions. My name is Z. I am a member of the adult service team, so you might see me on the reference desk from time to time. And I help lead the adult creative nights where the adults can get creative, meet new people, and learn a new skill. I also assist with the other programs in the library, including some outreach events where I showcase some of the library's most amazing resources. And for our veteran listeners, you might remember my voice from the two Halloween specials I hosted on this podcast. And I also manage the magazine collections as well. With me today are Dawn and Heidi. Dawn, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit of why you do?
Hi, my name is Dawn. I am a library technician. So my main focus is cataloging. Catalogers take the books when they first come into the library, and we put the information in the computer so that when library patrons and library reference staff are looking for the books, you put the search words in and the books that you're looking for hopefully come up. If you ever have a book that you're looking for that doesn't come up with the words you think should be in there, then I'm the person to talk to. I also help in the computer lab, so you might see me sometimes upstairs in the computer lab helping people with printing and searching in different search engines as well as doing the emails.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, the computer lab is one of Logmont's, like, or at least our library's, like, best feature, I think. We have so many things. We offer faxing as well, which is kind of a dying thing, but it's still a thing, or at least notable enough that I have at least one patron a week asking me about the faxing stuff, so that's really cool.
We do send multiple faxes a day. The biggest thing we use right now is scan to email. So we do have machines that look just like copy machines, and you stick your contracts or whatever in the top. It scans it and sends it directly right to your email instead of you needing to scan each page in separately. So you can actually email contracts in to renters and lawyers, things like that, without needing to scan each individual page in or go in person.
That's really cool. I like that. Heidi, we also have you in the building. Thank you for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do for our library?
Hi, I'm Heidi, and I do all the communication work for the library. So that includes all the emails that you receive and the social media you see, all the flyers and posters and stuff throughout the library. Pretty much anything like visually and digitally that you see, I've probably had my hand in it. So that's my main job at the library.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I know that you play a huge hand in just making everything look pretty. As somebody who does not have any skills in digital, like, stuff, it's really cool. But yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into our book recommendations and our current reads. So for myself, I'm kind of going on a binge of nostalgia right now. Although I did finish up a book called The Matter of Everything by Susie Sheehy. Susie is a professor at the University of Melbourne, and her profession is in the accelerator physics. So this book I would totally recommend for anybody who loves science and is curious about how we got, like, I would argue, like, 90% of our current technology. It also covers the history and contributions of women as well, especially in a very male-dominated science field. So that's really cool. And if you have access to the audiobook version of it, I would totally recommend it because she has an Australian accent, and so it just makes everything sound just 100 times better. So definitely I would recommend that one as well. A book that I'm also kind of midway through is John Lewis, In Search of the Beloved Community by Raymond Arsenault. It is a biography of John Lewis, who was heavily involved in the civil rights activist during the civil rights period here in the United States. And it covers just him being a freedom rider. It also covers a lot of different angles in that period as well. And it kind of shows the ripple effect that that engagement has affected us in the present day. Another book that I am that is on my list, and I already did take a sneak peek at it at our library as well. It is Ode to Hip Hop by Kiana Fitzgerald. It is basically a very colorful history book of hip hop and just its whole conception and some of the most like influential music that it has participated in, especially in culture. And then going to my little nostalgic bin, I would definitely recommend Skullduggery Pleasant by Derek Landy. It is a teen book, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of adults can appreciate it as well. It was a book that was introduced to me like about 2 years ago. It's such a fun book because we follow a young detective who goes by the name of Valkyrie Kane, and we follow her mentor, Skullduggery Pleasant, who is a skeleton detective. And we just follow their whole journey on fighting evil and some intrapersonal stuff. And yeah, it's just a fun read for sure. Another one that I am reading again is iRobot by Isaac Asimov, which is kind of scary, especially with AI being involved now in our day-to-day lives. It's just everywhere, and it's a huge discussion, and some people are very excited about it, but others are kind of reserved on what they think. And there's a lot of interesting parallels between this fictional book and what reality is starting to showcase for us. So it makes me very curious as to what might be in store for us in the future. So those would be my current reads and recommendations. Dawn, would you like to recommend your books or what you're currently reading?
Sure. Thank you. I am also kind of taking a walk down nostalgia lane right now. I tend to read anywhere from 2 to 5 books at a time. Because I break them up, I like to do an audio, a Kindle, and a print book. But sometimes with that going on, I can drop in a graphic novel at the same time. So I'm currently on my Kindle reading Laurel K. Hamilton's Anita Blake series. And it is one of my absolute favorite series. Anita Blake is a alternative reality, but it happens in current day society where vampires and werewolves and everything actually are part of society. They have come out per se. Everyone knows about them. And so there, Anita Blake is a crime fighter. She's a paranormal crime fighter because of special abilities that she has. The cool thing I like about it is that Hamilton actually goes and if she talks about SWAT, she spends a week with her local SWAT and learns about them. There is a book where they are in Las Vegas, and she actually did go to Las Vegas and meet with their SWAT and spend a week with them because their SWAT obviously has special situations that they deal with. But she does not ever include crimes that don't happen in reality. So even though she's talking about supernatural, everything is something that has happened in reality. And I really enjoy that. I would say anyone who really likes fantasy would enjoy this book, this series. The series is in the double digits, I believe 23 or 24 books currently. She does an amazing job of introducing new characters along the way to keep you interested, but also the fact that because it is crime fighting, that keeps you interested because the crimes never go cold. She does have a couple that go through a few books, but the crimes never go cold, and you're always interested to see what's going to happen next to Anita and her friends. I would also warn everyone that there is a certain amount of intimacy and, to be quite blunt, smut that happens in it, just because it's the nature of adult fantasy that does sometimes happen. Hmm. But each book does have then its hardcore crime. So I like the mixture of the two. I think it keeps each book a little bit lighthearted, but also grounded, as well as the fact that it gives me rabbit holes to go down with the hardcore crime. Mm-hmm. So if that's something you're into, I enjoy it. I'm on book 13 right now and working my way through. I really enjoy her. Something I just finished was Portrait of a Body by Julie Delporte. That was a graphic novel that I read. And I would recommend this for anyone who is struggling with any kind of discomfort with themselves at all, whether it be mental, physical, anything that you might have. The review I wrote was This book comes with all the feels and reminds us that we share certain emotions and growing challenges with everyone. Be ready to feel retrospective and some pain, as well as a ton of empathy and heart hurt, but also joy for Julie and for yourself along the way. It's really the journey of a woman who grows up not certain about her body, not certain about what's happening to her as she grows up. And it just takes her most of her life to find herself. And I think to some extent, most of us can really relate to that. Being a graphic novel, the art is beautiful. The art just really draws you through. And it's just, on top of being a really heartfelt story, the art is just really great in that graphic novel. And I recently watched a new movie called The Sound of Freedom that's based on a true story, and it is about child trafficking. So that one, I think, parents, you might want to check it out. For me, I did let my 16-year-old watch it with me after I had watched it. My 10-year-olds, I think, are a little young for it, so they did not ever watch it with me. The Sound of Freedom is based on a true story. It's very well researched, very well done, very factual, straightforward. I finished the movie ready to like quit my job and go out there and like save people. And then I thought about it and thought, gosh, there was a lot of guns and shooting, and that scares me. And then, you know, you think about it an hour later and I go, yeah, I want to go save people. And then I realize I would be too scared with the guns. It really made me respect those people that do go and do that. It really made me want to make sure that I'm spreading awareness. The end of the movie, they talk to you about spreading awareness. They talk to you about supporting the different nonprofits in your area and helping out. And so that's kind of changed my perspective a little bit.
Yeah, I bet.
I did some research. Colorado is one of the hubs for child trafficking in the United States. So it really has changed how I educate not only my kids a little bit more than I already had, but my friends to educate their kids. So that was big. And my last one is an audiobook that I listened to over spring break. And it is a little long, but it's called Hunt, Gather, Parent, What Ancient Cultures Can Teach Us About the Lost Art of Raising Happy, Helpful Little Humans. And I listened to it on my way to and from Pagosa Springs. And the one thing I can say is this is a book for every parent, regardless of how neurotypical or neurodivergent your child is. My children are neurodivergent, on the spectrum, ADHD, anxiety, depression. We've kind of got the whole rainbow going. And I did start on spring break using some of the techniques that are shared in this book by Micheline Duclef. And while not all of them work in the United States for obvious reasons, because she's mostly in third world countries and tribal situations, there are a lot of them that do work. And at first, some of them my children responded in confusion to, mostly because they contain not repeating yourself, not raising your voice, things that you as parents do a lot of. But I've already seen differences in a week using just two or three of the techniques. So I would definitely recommend this to babysitters, to parents, to anybody who deals with kids or trains kids in the art of living.
That's really cool. As a non-parent, it still sounds very interesting as to how the culture of parenting can be implemented in ways that are different from previous generations. So that sounds very interesting. I might read it just for the sake of interest.
It's interesting, too, that she talks about, as she traces the different parenting techniques, that there are bumps that you can see where different cultural events happened, and you can see parenting change from that culture event forward. Whereas before that event, we mimicked more of these tribes. in the United States. We actually followed more closely to what they do. And then there would be a huge cultural event that would move us forward. But when it moved us forward, it also changed the way that we interacted with our children.
Uh-huh.
So that was very, like I said, it was very educational for me to see that difference. And if every parent could do like she did and take our child with us and spend 6 months with Inuits or, you know, something like that, I think that parents would find that it is a relationship with children. It's not a governance.
Mm. That's a good quote there. That's a good quote.
So,
well, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Heidi, would you like to share your recommendations and your current reads?
Sure. I do not have as heavy reads as Dawn did. I do a lot of mixture of things, but I wanted to give some pretty easygoing, like, to me, it probably took me 2 or 3 days to read type of books. So just kind of ones that if you need to chill out or just kind of get absorbed into something else, these are, I guess, my recommendations for that. The first ones are the Glass and Steel series by C.J. Archer. The first book in the series is called The Watchmaker's Daughter. And it follows this woman, India Steele, in her life. I can't really tell how back in time it really is. It sounds like it's maybe in the 20s and 30s, but they never give like an exact date of kind of when it's set. But it doesn't feel like incredibly modern times. It has definitely a like British type of feel to it too in the setting. So like it definitely feels like it was probably placed in London or like something like that. So but it follows India as she happens upon this guy called Matthew Glass, and they go through with his like his cousin Willie, which is like a character in and of herself, and then his two like other friends, one of them's named Cyclops. They're like kind of bodyguards kind of. But it follows them on these like little quests to like find whether there's a magic tie to these like different artifacts. So like the first one is watches. And I won't give anything away, but it has something to do with one of the characters finding whether or not they are magical or not, because it's still very, like, new in the world. So, like, magicians in and of themselves in the world, in this world of the book, they are kind of underground because their magical ability is, like, taking something like a carpenter, if they have magical abilities, then they can make something the most beautiful thing for a piece of furniture that you've ever seen. Whoa. Or something. It just like enhances somebody's natural ability. So like the non-magical people are like, well, they're going to run us all out of business or uh-huh. whatever. So like the magicians like hide themselves.
Uh-huh.
I'm on like the fourth. Well, I've read 4 books in the series so far, and like I said, each book is like a different quest of a different artifact or something, and whether or not it was magical or not, or like what ties. And there's a little bit of like, you know, mystery, danger here and there. And then like between India and Matthew, it's like a, are they gonna be romantic? Are they not? Like, you know, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I don't know. It kind of sucks you in.
I bet it does.
So, yeah. So they're like super easy reads, like I said. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just like a fun series that like isn't too deep or anything. It's really easy to follow along and stuff. And the characters are really funny. And like, so that's that series. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. I like that one. And I think there's 12 books in all. And then they have the Glass Library series, which continues on the story. So what was funny is I started with the Glass Library, and then I found after 2 books in that this Glass and Steel series was before that. So I switched and started with the glass and steel series so that I would know actually like what they're talking about a lot in the glass library one. Mm-hmm. So, and then my next one that I read was actually a recommendation from a friend, and I'm not sure I would have ever picked it up if it wasn't from her, but I was like, sure, you know, like she really liked it, so why not? It's called The Lager Queen of Minnesota by J. Ryan Straddle. And it follows these three women. So two of them are sisters, Edith and Helen, and Edith's granddaughter, Diana.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of goes back and forth from the 60s when Helen and Edith were growing up to modern day, like early 2000s, 2010 kind of setting. And so Edith and Helen grew up on a farm, and Helen really wanted to go into the brewery business. So she ends up like doing that and everything. And Edith ends up kind of going this different direction and whatever. So they kind of have this kind of like broken relationship a little bit, and like, and it kind of, you know, goes through a lot of what happened and everything. And then in modern day times, Diana, the granddaughter, is struggling a little bit and kind of, you know, being the bad kid and all this kind of stuff. And she gets put in a program to like get a job. So she gets, Diana gets this job at this brewery in the town that she's at to help her like get this scholarship program and all this kind of stuff, right? To like get her better on a better track or whatever. And so she ends up really, really liking working at this brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she ends up buying it from the guy once he retires. This is like way later on. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's like married, whatever, at this point. She's good to go or whatever. And when she gets pregnant and has to be hospitalized for a while, Edith, her grandma, who like was making pies at the retirement community and stuff and like, you know, not have anything to do with brewing at all, like this is the non-brewery sister,
mm-hmm.
goes in and tries to run the brewery with her ragtag bunch of like grandma friends and like take over this brewery for Diana while she's like hospitalized and stuff. And it's just like this really like heartwarming story of how like Edith and her grandma, you know, friends and stuff like save this brewery and save, you know, Diana's like living and like all this kind of stuff, and how like Diana and Edith like, you know, have gain in their relationship and stuff. And then, you know, it eventually like Edith and Helen, the two sisters, like kind of get better and stuff about it too. And like, so it was just like this really like heartwarming story. And like, mm-hmm. I'm really glad that I ended up reading it, because it was one of those like stories that you're like, oh, did that like actually happen in real life? Because that would be kind of cool. But I think it's totally fictionist, but either way, it was a good read.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. So those are my kind of two very easy like reads that are, you know, they're not very deep or anything, but they're just really good reads, like just good books.
Yeah. I don't think books have to necessarily be deep. And they can just be a fun story, and that's just the awesomeness of books, I think. Because, yeah, I read a lot of nonfiction primarily. I do dabble a little bit in the fiction area, but it takes me a hot second to get into that stuff. Like the Lord of the Rings series, that took me forever to get into it because I didn't grow up with that. So as an adult, it was quite the interesting thing to grasp, because for me, it felt almost like computers almost. I'm like, I know nothing. what is Dumbledore? What are these rings? Who's the guy with the antlers? Who's that guy? It's just a lot. So simple books are always fun, and that sounds like something right up my alley, I think. Just like, it sounds adorable of just like a bunch of just grandmas trying to run the brewery. Just like, I can imagine that, and just like what kind of like fun story, like fun scenarios can happen with that. So that's a really cool recommendation.
And I think for me, when you said you like lighthearted stuff and the books I read were a little heavier, I grew up reading all fiction, but I tended toward the macabre. I started reading Stephen King in like fifth grade. And in high school, I don't think I did one book report on something that wasn't, I mean, I think The Scarlet Letter was my most mainstream book that I read. But it wasn't until I started working at the library and we had, pre-2020, we had a nonfiction book club, and I joined it for that reason, mm-hmm. that I was cataloging all these nonfiction books that sounded interesting, but I was not sure I wanted to dive into that. Mm-hmm. And I took that, I read that nonfiction, or I joined that nonfiction book club, and I read American Wolf was one of the first ones they did, and it was written very fictionally. Mm-hmm. And it was more of like a feel-good nonfiction and very touchy-feely. And now I think that's why I have so many nonfiction graphic novels and so many of like the more intense nonfiction, because I started with those real touchy-feely nonfictions, and now I'm getting more into the more intense, heavy-duty, mm-hmm. Straightforward nonfictions because I've never read them before. So when I go back to something, I think that's when I go back to those. For me, lighthearted is like the Anita Blake crime stopper, mm-hmm. Or, you know, something. For me, it's murder mystery is lighthearted. but still, I when you're talking about that, that reminds me of stuff I read when I was a kid. That was, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder. I just about 5 years ago gave my entire original print collection to my niece.
Oh.
And they all were, you know, the original print with my notes in the margins and, mm-hmm. and everything that I had read. But I'd read those in like third grade and loved them and done the Girl Scout badge and all of that when I was a kid. And so I started the opposite where I had never read nonfiction very much before that. So,
yeah.
So we're doing the swip swap.
I think we are for sure. Yeah. No, I think it's just, I think for sure my childhood was more different. And I grew up with like Bill Nye and, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson and stuff. So I read their books first. And that was like the thing that I got into.
I was introduced to Tyson in 2017 mm-hmm. for the very first time with, My Astrophysics for People in a Hurry.
Oh, I love that book.
And so I audioed much. It first mm-hmm. with my kids. And to this day, every once in a while, they'll say, can we listen to the alien guy? Because they love that part of the book where he talks about what we would look like to alien planets.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they will sit and debate his different perspectives mm-hmm. in the car. They love it. And then I read it. And that's the first time I ever got into the different metals and all of that was reading his book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I'd never even heard of him before.
Yeah. No, it's really cool to just have like different librarians from different, mm-hmm. just different origins and what they involve in. Like, I definitely am going to listen to or try to find those books that Heidi recommended more or less because I just want to know more about grandma's running a brewery and how that might look.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm so like stuck on that, but I just love that image because like in my brain I'm just seeing like there's like some sweet like senior ladies and just like, mm-hmm. oh, would you like I know nothing about alcohol, but like would you like a tequila or something? Yeah. Or just whatever they put have at this brewery and stuff like
it
that.
Sounds but, awesome. Especially no, if you're talking back then, because I keep thinking like I don't know, like speakeasies and stuff, you know, like it was such a time when you had to be quick and like quiet about it, and you had to be sneaky and tricky, mm-hmm. and you know, and whenever you see anything about that kind of stuff in movies and stuff, it's always the men doing it, mm-hmm. and the women are kind of the forefront, like the warners. Mm-hmm. We're going to warn you when we're in danger, but not they're not the yeah, the brewers.
Yeah, this. I mean, the Lager Queen is like early 2010s, oh, so okay. It's not like Prohibition or anything. So it's very much like just an open building or whatever. So, okay. But yeah, I understand like what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Dawn and Heidi, for joining us and giving your recommendations and sharing with us what you're reading. And thank you, dear listeners, for joining us as well. If you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to get the latest episodes, not only of our recommendations and current reads, but as of yours as well. If you would like to share your recommendations to get featured on this podcast, head on over to logmontcolorado.gov/library and click on the book chatter link under the programs and events tab. Again, that is logmontcolorado.gov/library. Wait no further and submit your books. I am your host, Z, and this is Book Chatter, What Logmont is Reading. Have a good day.